This is Blessed Trails with Belinda Gale on Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world on our free mobile app and online at equestrianlegacy.com.
I am so glad our trails have crossed. Oh, the joy you bring to me. And as I look upon each face, such kindness there I see. I wish for you the love of God, a love that never fails. And as we travel life's long path, I wish you blessed trails. Now go their separate ways, and life goes rolling on. I hope our trails will cross again before God takes us home. We share the wondrous love of God, a love that never fails. And as we travel long path, I wish you blessed trails. Yes, as we travel life's long path, I wish you blessed trails. Blessed trails.
Welcome to Blessed Trails. I'm Belinda Gale, and I am honored to be your host as we visit with interesting and diverse guests. We also have the honor of featuring our guests' gospel and patriotic music and sometimes poetry, most all of which is inspirational and has a definite Western flair. Today's guest has a passion for ranching and the Western lifestyle, and it's reflected in his music and poetry. But before we learn more about the man, let's kick off the show with his song, Listen Close.
On a slanted porch of an old ranch house out on the edge of town, plays a little boy on a big guitar as he makes a joyful sound. He plays upon that music box throughout the hours of day. If you listen close and the wind is right, this is what he'll say. Little thing. The warriors came and they shipped him off, but still he picks and sings. For the soldiers in his army camp, whose homes are far away. If you listen close and the wind is right, this is what he'll say. A cowboy all alone. His ma and pa have passed away, no home to call his own. Still he wears a great big smile as by the campfire he does play. If you listen close and the wind is right, this is what he'll say.
Are all mended, no more.
or will he roam? The town folks say on a quiet night you still can hear him play. If you listen close and the wind is right, this is what he'll say.
Jimmy Rogers sneak into our show. Oh my gosh, I love that yodel. Well, our guest today has led a varied life, but his heart has always been and always will be in ranching and all things Western. His journey through life ultimately led him to be an accomplished poet and Western music artist. His passion for the West and his artistry in portraying it caught the attention of RFD TV show America by Horseback, and he has been featured on that show for over 9 years. But most of all, he is just a great guy, and I am very pleased to welcome to our show today, Del Shields. Welcome, Del.
Well, thank you, Belinda. It is so good to be with you on this show.
Well, it's been a while since we've gotten to visit. We met when I was doing some touring in the Midwest, but that's been a number of years ago. And though we've, you know, talked a little bit off and on, we haven't gotten to see each other in a long time.
It has been a while. Matter of fact, it's been too long. And, you know, I appreciate you so much and your music. And as a matter of fact, if you look in my CD carrier in my pickup, your CD is right there and gets played from time to time when I need a little pick-me-up.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate that, Del. But we are going to get to see each other because we're going to be doing the Rendezvous, the big music festival that our station actually sponsors, the whole Equestrian Legacy Network sponsors in June. And I'm sure that Gary has some links up for that for people who are interested in that. We're going to have a ton of people there, and it goes to sponsor different children's charities, and it's just an amazing event, and I'm so tickled you're going to be there.
I can't wait. I am looking forward to that, and especially, you know, the good that it's going to bring. It's so great to be a part of stuff like that.
Really is, and it feels good as an artist to give back. I mean, I feel like we get so much from our fans, the people that follow our careers and support us in our careers, and it just feels really good to be able to do something of giving back. And it's not about us; it's about, you know, what the gift that the Lord has endowed us with, how that can really enrich other people's lives. So, it's
yeah.
A cool thing. It's going to be
it is.
So good.
I just gave the talk at our Kansas chapter WMA meeting last Sunday afternoon out at the Prairie Rose.
Mm-hmm.
And this is exactly what I was talking about, was the fact that we kind of do it for us sometimes, but we don't realize the impact of what we do, how it touches people. And they're not just there to pay money to give us to buy the ticket.
Mm-hmm.
We kind of touch their lives in a special way that we don't realize all the time. But eventually, you're able to see the results of that. So that's a wonderful thing.
It is. You know, and I was just talking to a friend of mine recently, and we were talking about the Lord using our gifts, you know, the musical gifts and stuff. And I said, you know, my prayer before I step on stage, before I ever pick up my guitar to do anything, is, Lord, just help me get out of the way and do what you want to accomplish through this few minutes that I'm going to be, you know, using this gift you gave me. Because it really isn't for us. And it's so wonderful to hear you say that. It's not for us. Sometimes we get caught up in that, but it's really not for us. It's what the Lord can do through the gift.
Oh, I think you're exactly right. And, you know, if we can just, like I said, use what he's given us, the blessings will come. And I think it comes on both sides, to them and to us.
Yeah. Absolutely, absolutely. Well, gosh, Del, you know, we've gotten to visit off and on through the years, but it's always on the run at these events, and we've never really gotten to, like, just sit down and talk. So I'm really excited about getting to know more about you and your childhood and, you know, how all this came about. And so why don't we first tell us about, you know, where you were raised and what your childhood looked like.
Well, I was raised in Chanute, Kansas, down here in the southeast corner of the state. And you know, Belinda, we lived in town my whole life growing up. And but I wasn't bound by the city limits of the town. I was always desiring to be. Dad always had cattle the whole time we were growing up in rented pasture. We never owned any land, but we always had cattle and there were horses around. And though I never owned a horse till I was 21 years old, I think I wore out everybody else's horse that I could get on. And it's just always been, you know, a passion to be around the lifestyle. And so I'm thankful that, you know, Mom and Dad were able to provide us with the opportunity to go out on a daily basis and check the cattle and feed the cattle and just be a part of the lifestyle. So I grew up in town, but there again, my brain wasn't there. It was somewhere else.
Wow. And so were you all a church-going family? Is that something that's been part of your whole life or something you discovered as a teenager, as a young adult, or how did that happen for you?
Well, no, to be real honest, we never really went to church growing up. For about 2 or 3 years, I think I hit fifth or sixth grade, and I started going with my sister to a little community church down the street from us. And then I never really went anymore until later on. And then when I met my wife, I started going with her and her family. And that's when I really understood what the Lord was all about and Christian. And then thankfully a year after that, through hopefully the influence that we had, my parents became Christians.
Wow.
And what a wonderful thing that was. And then we just saw more members of our family that were coming to the Lord. And so it's been a wonderful thing.
Wow. Well, I grew up the same way. I would go hit and miss with my aunt. She'd come get us for like Christmas and Easter and, you know, stuff like that to go to church with her. But I really didn't go to church. And so it's growing up. And so it's just as amazing to me how the Lord woos us, even though we don't have that foundation in our lives. You know, people that don't grow up, you know, with church being part of their life. So that's so cool. And wow, that has to be so thrilling for your wife that through her, not only was her husband saved, but his family and extended members of his family. She has to just feel so blessed by that.
Yeah. You know, even growing up, though we weren't churchgoers, Mom and Dad were what we call people of faith. They believed,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
you know, just didn't have the practice and the full understanding of everything, but the values and the principles that we grew up with were, you know, something that were deeply implanted into me my whole life. So I totally discredit the fact, you know, but we had a great family and a great life growing up.
Wonderful. Well, and both of your parents were musical, were they not?
My dad played guitar and a few other instruments, and he and my mother sang together. When they met and married, and ended up that they used to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning and go do a morning radio program and sing together, and I didn't even know that until about 10-15 years ago, I guess. I learned those facts, but I thought that was a pretty neat thing. And so I've had my mother on stage with me a number of times singing Silver Haired Daddy, a song that she and my dad used to do together.
Wow.
And that's always a special time.
So let me back up a little bit. So they got up, went and did the radio show, and came home, and y'all never, didn't even know they were gone doing this when you were growing up.
Yeah, I'm the youngest of four, and there are about 8 years difference between me and my oldest sister. And so I think it was during those years before I came along that they did.
Okay.
Then later on, they sang at other events, and there was always, when family was together, there were always guitars and fiddles and banjos, and so there was always music around, and they were part of that.
Wow. Now, so it's part of your heritage. But I read in your bio that you, at first, even though you picked up the guitar and started learning it, that you were really super insecure about that. Can you talk to us about that?
Well, I clunked around. Mom and Dad got me my first guitar when I was 9 years old, and I learned two or three chords and just kind of didn't get serious about it at all. I got up into my upper teen years, and I played a little bit more, but not a whole lot. And so it wasn't for a lot of years that I actually was confident to start playing in front of people. And it's something I always wanted to do and loved to do. But I was pretty shy about that back then. And now I'm one of the biggest hams I know.
So what flipped the switch for you from being like, yeah, I don't know, to, yeah, I really do want to get good enough to get in front of people to do this? What was the impetus behind that?
You know, Belinda, I guess I really have to give a lot of credit to the Missouri Cowboy Poets Association that I'm part of, been a part of for a number of years. I went to the first Echoes of the Trail event and did mostly poetry over there and did a couple of songs that I was comfortable with. And I saw those people just, you know, they were just having fun and enjoying what they were doing. And Eli Barcy was a part of that group, and she encouraged me, she and John, and, you know, I said, you know, I want to do this. And so I guess once the fire got to burning hot enough, you just couldn't stop me. So I just stepped out there and started doing it.
Well, we're sure glad you did, and I love Eli and John. What they're, you know, if they're encouraging you, it just, you can't help but feel encouraged. They're just precious, precious people. So that's good mentors, good encouragers. That was for sure.
Absolutely, yeah, wonderful people.
Well, before we get into some of your original stuff, we have several of your originals we're going to be playing today, which I'm really excited about. Why don't we go to the old standby, old Stan Jones, and his just iconic, your version of Ghost Riders in the Sky.
Yeah, let's do that.
Cowpoke went riding out one dark and windy day. Upon a ridge he rested as he went along his way. When all at once a mighty herd of red-eyed cows he saw went pawing through the ragged sky and up the cloudy draw. Yippee-yi-yay! Yippee-yi-yo! Ghost bird in the sky. Their brands are still on fire and their hooves are made of steel. Their horns are black and shiny and their hot breath he could feel. A bolt of fear went through them as they thundered through the sky. Foresaw the riders coming hard. He heard their mournful cry. Yippee-yi-yay! Yippee-yi-yo! Ghost riders in the sky. Faces gaunt, their eyes a blur, their shirts all soaked with sweat. They're riding hard to catch the herd, but they ain't caught 'em yet. They've got to ride forever on that range up in the sky. On horses snort fire, they ride on, hear their cry. Yippee-yi-yay! Yippee-yi-yo! As the riders loped on by him, he heard one call his name. Do you want to save your soul from hell or riding on our range? Then cowboy, change your ways today, or with us you will ride, trying to catch this devil's herd across these endless skies. Yippee-yi-yay, yippee-yi-yo, those riders in the sky.
You grew up, and did you go to college? Did you, you know, what did your young adult life look like?
Well, I just did a little bit of junior college after high school, and then I went right to work and worked for a number of years. Had a hog farm, big confinement hog farm for a number of years until the economy all went bad in that direction. During that time, and we ran cattle and the whole thing. When all that went to pieces, then I ended up working in a welding shop for a while. Then later on after that, I ended up going to school for the ministry down in Dallas, Texas for 2 years.
Oh, good for you.
Ended up in full-time ministry for a number of years. So that was kind of the earlier years of life, so got out of that eventually, back to kind of the roots of ranching and self-employment again. So along with that, the traveling and the music and everything. So
wow. Well, I'd like to talk a little bit about a couple of pieces of that in just a minute. So where did your beautiful wife come into all this picture?
Well, Belinda, I talk about this kind of tongue in cheek, but Siobhan and I were both happily ever after didn't happen for us with our first marriages.
Mm-hmm.
And so Siobhan came into the picture around 2000. My brother actually introduced us, it didn't take long to figure out that there was something there for us. And so I look back on those former years with, thinking a little bit of regret and failure that I wasn't able to hold my family together back then. But, mm-hmm. What God is able to do through those circumstances is the part that amazes me the most. So we've been blessed. We married in 2003, and I had three grown children, and Siobhan had two children that were still in school. And as a matter of fact, Bryce is 18 this year and going to graduate. So
oh, wow.
We're going to be in semesters next year when he gets off to college. But through those events and as I said, what God is able to do in our lives in spite of the brokenness simply takes me, to my knees in thanksgiving and praise. So,
yes, absolutely. So together you have five children. I bet that keeps you guys busy. And grandkids, you have, how many grandchildren do you have?
We have six grandchildren, four boys and two girls. And we're expecting another little girl into the world the first part of April. So we will we'll have seven then. But
are they all close where you can hang out and be granddad?
You know, they are not close enough. But the boys are actually about 35, 40 minutes away, and the two girls are about 2 hours away. And, you know, so we get to see them quite often. And, boy, what a blessing they are.
I tell you what, that's, I told my kids that, that the grandbabies were God's reward to me for not drowning them when they were.
There may be something to that.
they can be challenging just trying to hit those teenage years, and they're testing all their boundaries and trying to figure out who they are. And boy, sometimes my stepmother used to tell me when my kids were little, she goes, you just wait when they hit those, you just want to bury them when they're about 12 or 13 and dig them up again when they're about 19, 20.
that's for sure. Looking back, I think we were so blessed. The girls were just no problem at all. And then my son came along, and he became a bull rider and took off on the circuit. And he was a challenge for a while. He was a good kid. Just he was doing everything that he wanted to do rather than what he knew he ought to be doing. But he's turned out great. All the kids have just been a blessing, and so I couldn't be prouder of them.
They are such treasures in our lives, for sure. Well, I would like to talk a little bit more about your call into the ministry and how that kind of evolved and devolved. What can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, yeah, after years of being in the church and being active, I was leading singing, I was doing devotionals, I was doing all the things that, trying to be involved in. And so the preacher that we had at the time came up and sat down beside me at one of our fellowship dinners, and the first thing he said was, "Have you ever thought about being a preacher?" And it just about scared me to death. I said, "No, I haven't." And so he said, "Well, I really think you ought to think about it." And, I kind of fought that idea, and yet it nagged at me for a long time. And from there it kind of grew, and then I began to give sermons, full-length sermons, when I had opportunity. Finally, it was another one of those things that I just couldn't run from any longer, and it became a passion. And so I ended up going to Preston Rhodes School of Preaching and Biblical Studies in Dallas, Texas. So I was in full-time ministry for about 12 years, I guess.
Wow.
And it was just, an amazing part of my life. So now I'm doing it on the road and filling in at home and wherever I can, still preaching the word.
Wow. Well, if you don't mind me asking, was it the breakup of your marriage that pulled you out of the ministry, or what really drew you out of being a full-time active minister?
Yes, it was. Mm-hmm. You look at those things and you question a lot of things. You question yourself, and there's just a lot of things there that really sets you back. So I had to deal with all of those things for a lot of years. So that pretty much was the reason for coming out of full-time ministry, yes.
Right. Well, I can certainly understand that, because there's a lot of, I don't know whether I want to say biases or prejudices against people who've been divorced, especially ministers. And I feel for ministers that go through that, because many times it's not their doing, it's not their, they don't have a choice in the matter. There's two people that make that decision. It takes two to hold a marriage together and only one to tear it apart. And so I really feel I admire that you still are keeping that folded into your life and not letting, you know, that very negative connotation in your life define who you are and define your role in what the Lord would have you do with your life. So, you know, kudos to you for keeping on with it and still helping out and still filling in when you can. And I have a feeling that you probably, like those rest of us who are believers and performers, that you've sort of wrapped that into your performances and your life and how you relate to your fans as well.
Well, you know, I hope and I pray that the Christian aspect of my life is not a category. I pray that is something that I just am and I do, no matter mm-hmm. what else I'm doing, and you know that I'm able to influence people and bless people's lives and just be you know what I'm supposed to be and mm-hmm. be that first. And if I'm that first, I think the rest of it just kind of takes care of itself.
Right. And just, you know, and that part of your life is an encouragement to people that no matter how low you get or how things fall apart in your life, that, you know, if you just keep your eyes on the Lord, He can wrap it all around and bring it back to where you can still be effective for Him. Maybe it's not in exactly the way it was, but it's you still have a place and a purpose in God's plan for your life and His plan for to use your life to touch others. So I would just encourage you that I think it's awesome that you just, you know, you're keeping after this.
Well, I appreciate that so very much, and you know, it's a tender part of who I am.
Mm-hmm.
The person that says this will never happen to me,
mm-hmm.
I fear for those, because I'm one of those people that said my life and my marriage would never end the way it did. But the thing that I've come to realize is that all this is really not about me. It's about our God and how He can use us to bless the lives of other people. And so, you know, I have to just kind of take my eyes off of me and my past and the whole thing and just make it all about Him, no matter what. He's going to take care of those things that I can't undo.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I agree wholeheartedly. Well, I think it's time. This time, I think this is a poem that we're going to listen to that you have written called Legendary Horses. Would you like to set that up a little bit for us and tell us how you came to write this?
Well, I wrote this poem a number of years ago. And there again, it's just kind of from the background of the times, you know. God's always going to be there, no matter how hard the fall is. And I hadn't really paid much attention to Marty Robbins' song "Man in the Continental Suit" after I had written this poem. And there's kind of a little connection there, so I thought that was a neat thing.
Oh, cool! Well, let's listen to "Legendary Horses."
There are legendary horses about which songs have been written. Many of their names will not soon be forgotten. Like Old Red and Badger and the Strawberry Roan. Outlaws whose meanness went clear to the bone. Though some men would try them, they'd never be rode, for the men on their backs was sure to get throwed. If there's one thing you learn after years of looking back, it's that some of them old horses are just better left without tack. They will never be rode, no matter how hard you try, so the best thing is to honor them and just let it lie. But history also teaches that some can't let it be. They just have to try them for themselves, you see. Sometimes it's embarrassing and sometimes there's pain. But the fact of the matter will always remain. When the dust settles down and the bronc gets the fame, the rider limps off and no one remembers his name. So it is with life as it is with old horses. The classroom of life has some really tough courses. And often in life we learn that we've been throwed, and the bronc that we've been trying, we'll never get rode. But there's always someone there who'll gladly dust your back, and help you get back up when your own strength you lack. So when you're on a bad one and you take a mighty fall, the Comforter will pick you up when on His name you call.
Oh, I like that. That's a great tie-in at the end. Good job.
Thank you. Thank you.
That was good. Well, you had a turn of events in your career 10 years or so ago, and you became involved with the show, the RFD TV show, America by Horseback. Can you tell us how that came about?
Yeah, there again, it was one of those God things, if you will. I was shoeing horses and training horses full time, which I still do some of that. But some folks that were clients of mine had called me down to do some horse shoeing. And while I was there, they asked if I'd be interested in doing a little house concert for them. They had friends coming from Virginia on vacation and wanted to know if I'd come and kind of entertain. So I went down, and they had a house full of people, and I did the little concert. And the friends that were from Virginia were just all excited because they'd never really heard true cowboy music, Western music, and were just head over heels about it. So he got excited and started telling me about this man by the name of Tom C., where he team-pinned every Friday night, and he was putting together a television show and how I would just be great for that show. And I'm thinking, yeah, right. So,
those things come and go in my life so often, and nothing ever comes of it. I totally get that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Those empty promises. So anyway, I gave Tom a call, and he had been doing auditions for the show for music down in Atlanta, Georgia, Washington, D.C., and was getting ready to go to Dallas, Texas. And so I talked to him, He told me, he said, you know, Texas is a long ways from Kansas, and I really would hate for you to come this far and can't promise you anything and da-da-da-da. And I'm thinking, well, this is about how I thought this would go. And so we talked a little while, and finally he said, look, he said, I'm not, I must have sounded pitiful, Belinda. He said, I'm not going to tell you you can't come. I just want you to know there are no guarantees. And I said, well, that's fair enough. The wife and I have some time off. We'd like to come down and visit. So went down, did the audition, and we hit it off there. They were very generous. And so the first year I did a few shows with them. We started off there in Texas and did some shows at Palladora Canyon and through that area. And then the next year a little more, and the third year, we put together what was called the Governor Rides, and Tom said, you know, I'd really like for you just to come and be our featured entertainer full time. And so I took that, and wasn't too long, and I noticed that I was helping him do interviews and setting in. And so finally he said, you know, you might as well just take on the title of co-host and start helping me co-host, because you're doing it anyway. And so it's been, this is our 11th year that we're going into.
Wow.
On RFD television. 2009, we rode horseback from Mexico to Canada, and I was trail boss on that event, as well as circuit preacher and entertainer at night, co-hosting, helping find places for us to stay. And Mike Shaw and I were putting shoes on 50 head of horses for everyone to keep them going. So kind of a busy trip. But
wow.
A life-changing experience. And it's just been a great ride. And you know, it's a wonderful show. The events are absolutely amazing to be a part of, because of there again, what it does with and for people. And it's more than just a trail riding show and a music show. It's a time to interact and touch lives. And so we've been blessed by being able to do that as well.
Wow. Well, let's talk a little bit more about some of those rides and some of the more memorable rides. And we have to start with Mexico to Canada. And I understand you rode naked on that ride.
Well, the secret's out, huh?
It is. I heard that. I'm like, we have to talk about that.
I did ride naked from Mexico to Canada, and right now I'm staring out my the window out toward the barn, and he's standing out there in the pen grazing. So he's a great horse, and we got a little publicity from that. I named him Naked because he didn't have any particular markings. I always call the horse with no markings a naked horse. No socks, no stockings, no line back, no ball face, so on and so forth. And so before the trip, he was just a colt. I named him Naked. And so Tom would be talking with newspaper reporters and radio folks that were wanting to come out and interview television stations. And he would always say, we have a cowboy preacher and singer who's riding Naked on this trip. And, man, they would show up, you know, when they would get there, they wanted to know where this naked riding preacher was. So come to find out, it was the horse. But it's been a great thing.
Oh, gosh. Well, that had to have had some cool things that happened on trip. That's quite an endeavor. So, first of all, how did that come about? Why did you guys even do that? And can just tell us some highlights from that trip?
Yeah, in 1995, Tom and Pat C, who have the TV show Best of America by Horseback, had actually ridden from the Atlantic to the Pacific with a group of individuals. And so Pat told Tom that he could never do that again. And so Tom said, well, okay. And so he didn't tell her that he was planning to ride border to border instead of Atlantic to Pacific. So no more coast to coast, but border to border. So we started putting this idea together and just kind of got all the logistics worked out, and we went. We rode from the Santa Teresa border crossing just south of El Paso up to Crosby, North Dakota, where we crossed into Canada.
Wow.
And it was 2,211 miles. Took just under 5 months to do that.
Wow.
And we took, I believe there were 46 individuals that started out, and I think we ended up with 36 of the originals.
Mm.
But Belinda, we had towns that would host us along the way. Ranchers that took in our entire groups and fed us, put our horses up, took care of us. The people out west are just amazing people.
Mm-hmm.
And the true spirit of the West was demonstrated to us. And the fact that America is still the greatest place on earth came back to reality for us when we were going across. Because of the character of those people.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think we rode in 7 different parades. We opened 5 rodeos. You know, it was just a time when everything just opened up to us. And there again, it was all about the people that hosted us and saw what we were doing and wanted to be a part of that.
Wow. Well, there is nothing quite like the Western hospitality. It's sort of like an unwritten rule in family ranches anyway. I don't know about the big corporate ranches that exist today, but in the family ranches and the, you know, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth generation ranching families, if the cowboy comes riding through and needs a place to bed down and a meal, they just take them in. They just sort of no questions asked, and it's just kind of a code of the West kind of thing, not to sound cliche, but it really, really is. So it doesn't surprise me that ranches took you guys in and fed you and took care of you. It just kind of is the way Westerners roll. That's so neat. And how fun for them to have you all there, I can imagine.
Well, you know, I think it was. The people that went with us were not rough, tough cowboys. They were people who were retired mostly, who just wanted to live this dream and ride their horse, mm-hmm. you know, across the United States. And so they were, I mean, we had pig farmers that were 70 years old. They went on their 50th wedding anniversary for this ride. They'd never been on vacation.
Wow.
We had a man who, from Florida, his doctor told him he couldn't go on the ride because he was going to die from a heart attack if he did. Went the entire way. We had another man who was not supposed to go because of a heart condition that rode the first 1,000 miles and then went home and had surgery. These are American heroes. They are people who were part of a historical event and, you know, lived the American dream.
Wow. Well, were there any misadventures on this trip?
You know, you can't believe how smooth it went.
Wow.
We had no injuries other than one guy jammed his thumb when his horse jumped a ditch. I think that was, you know, the major thing. And there was a lady that broke her arm, but it wasn't part of the ride. Her horse, one morning, I think, when she went out to take care of him, bumped her and broke her arm. But that was, you know, there was just really nothing that was earth-shaking that went wrong. And it was just every day getting up, you know, we'd get up and say a prayer together and ride for 6 or 7 hours. And, you know, we were all together at night as a family, and we moved the city every day. I mean, 30 horse trailers and all these people moving the city. And yet it just clicked, just went. And so a lot of credit to Tom C. and Pat C. for their ingenuity in that thing.
Wow. Sounds like it was an epic chapter in your life to go do something like that.
Absolutely was. Absolutely was.
Wow. Well, you've done some other cool things with America by Horseback. You've been on some cruises and you've been to other countries. You want to talk about that a little bit?
Well, yeah, we've taken a number of cruises. I've been able to sing on 5 different cruise ships, which is a pretty neat thing.
Mm-hmm.
I've sung on the steps of the Mayan temples. Been to the rainforest of Belize, the beaches of the Caribbean, mountaintops of the Yukon, and, you know, riding horses in these places and singing. And that's how much more fulfillment of a dream can you have than that? It's just it's been an amazing thing.
Wow. So does America by Horseback, I'm thinking that they must, like, offer these trips that people can then go on with y'all, and then they film it and turn it into an episode. Is that kind of how that works?
Yes, exactly. It is. And, you know, we try to show places where people can go ride their horses,
mm-hmm.
The amenities of the ranches or resorts or state parks, wherever we go.
Right.
Places where other people, you know, can go, or if they're not able to go, they can watch the show and go there through us. And
mm-hmm.
This is really important to people, more so than I realized until different individuals have kind of shared that with us.
Wow. Well, it's wonderful, the diversity of the different places that y'all go ride your horses and film these shows. And so people, I would encourage people to check it out online, and that it might be, who knows, might have some of our listeners that show up on some of y'all's rides. That might be way fun.
Oh, absolutely. We'd love to have them.
Oh, good. I think I need to come go on one of those rides with you guys. It sounds like fun.
I think you do too. Absolutely.
Yeah, I actually met Tom and Pat when we were doing one of Ernie Rodina's events in Kansas, and they were there filming. So we got to actually meet them one time.
Well, once you meet them, you'll never forget them.
That's for sure. They're kind of bigger than life, both of them. That's for sure. Oh, gosh. Well, we're ready to do another one of your songs. So will you tell us about Fire on the Prairie, how you came to write that?
Well, you know, I had heard all the other songs about major events and different things, but living here in Kansas, driving through here in the springtime in Flint Hills, you're going to see nothing but flames out across the Flint Hills, and so kind of triggered a thought: why not write a song about the fire on the prairie, and then kind of has a little bit of a gospel flair to it, a message as well. We have the opportunity to change. So that's kind of where the song came from.
Great. Well, let's listen to Fire on the Prairie.
We were camped out on the prairie, the stars shining bright. Gentle breeze was blowing, a cowboy's paradise. Cattle went to stirring, we sensed something wrong. Old Jack stopped his singing in the middle of his song. The horses went to pulling at the pickets, they were tied. The rider rode into our camp, I still can hear his cry. There's a fire upon the prairie, grab your gear and run. The devil's breath is on its way like the blazing sun. Soon we were surrounded by the fiery walls of hell. Cowboys' hearts at once were strong, within them now did fail. I heard one cry, oh master, save us from this night. Spare our souls, see us through till the morning light. You could see blazing cattle running wild across the plain. Cowboys whirling on their mounts, pulling at the reins. Then a bolt of lightning struck the ground, my senses all were gone. When I rose to look around me, I'd never see the dawn. Answered, it was muddy all around. The rains had come, the fire was out, the master's grace we'd found. The fire upon the prairie changed some cowboys' lives. Now a gentle breeze is blowing on a cowboy paradise. You could see blazing cattle running wild across the plain. Cowboys pulling on their mounts, pulling at the reins. Then a bolt of lightning struck the ground, my senses all were gone. When I rose to look around me, I'd never see the dawn. So change your evil ways, boys, don't face the devil's hell. I faced it once, my life was spared. My story for to
good song, Gal.
Thank you so much.
That's a good one. I can't believe our hour's absolutely flown by, and it's been so wonderful having you on the show and getting to know you better. And I'm so excited to get to see you again in June. That'll be so fun. We can catch up And I'm really looking forward to that. And I know that there's going to be people that are going to want to get a hold of some of your music and find out more about America by Horseback. So can you tell us where they can find you? Or do you have a website, Facebook page? Where can people get hold of you, Dale?
Yeah, they can just find me on DaleShieldsMusic.com for the website. And if they want to look up some of our information, it's bestofamericabyhorseback.com. And then, of course, I do have Facebook and a fan page, Dale Shields Cowboy Music and Poetry. And I'd love to hear from the fans.
Well, yeah, they are our lifeblood. That's what keeps us going, isn't it?
It absolutely is.
Yeah, they have no idea how important they are to us, because it's a glamorous quote unquote life, but it is exhausting and disappointing and discouraging lots of times. And it's just when you think you just want to go, I don't want to do this anymore. It's, you know, those people that have encouraged you and supported you along the way, and the ones that you've yet to meet that you know that are out there that kind of keep you going. At least that's that way for me. How do you feel about that?
Oh, I feel exactly the same. You know, it's what's within you, and yet there are times when you're thinking, is this worth it? Should I give it up? But again, something always happens. It seems like God puts someone in your life that just gives you new life. And, you know, that it makes it all worth it.
That's true. Well, thank you so much for being with us today, Dale. And we're going to close with a song that you wrote called The Best of America. And can you tell us how you came to write that?
Well, this is from my experience of being able to travel around and meet people experience of things that God has blessed me with over the last several years. And so I always tell people this is a song that I wrote not only for you, but about you. And it tells how I feel about the country.
It's a good one. And thank you again for being on the show. And we're going to listen now to Dale's The Best of America.
There's a whole lot being said about this old country in which we live, but the way I see it, she still has a whole lot to give. She's a land full of beauty, full of dreams for you and me. A land of our heroes who kept our liberty. There's a banner flying over her, made of colors that don't run. See her raised each morning with the rising of the sun. Hear her people stand together as one nation under God. We'll fight for right with all our might to protect her fertile sod. So don't tell me that she's broken, I'll have to prove you wrong. She's made up of a people standing proud and strong. I've seen the best of America cross the prairies to her sea. Rode the trails upon the mountaintops, touched her swamps, her live oak trees. I've seen the bright lights of her cities, felt the meadows' gentle breeze. And the best of America is her people standing free. America is her people, and they're shaped by years of history, and I'm proud to call this place my home, and her people, family. Now, she may fall on hard times, that's just a natural part of life,
But if in God we trust and we don't give up, He'll see us through the strife.
I've seen the best of America, cross the prairies to her seas. Rode the trails upon her mountaintops, touched her swamps, her live oak trees. I've seen the bright lights of her city, felt the meadows' gentle breeze. And the best of America is her people standing free. Yes, the best of America is her people standing free.
Fun visiting with Del today and getting to know him better. He really is such a great guy. And as I was preparing for the show, there was a line in Del's bio that kept coming back to me. It was along the lines of, although he had done many other things in his life, he really wanted nothing more than to be a rancher. And I am thrilled that dream was ultimately realized for Del and his wife to have that ranch. But really what stayed with me from that line was the fresh realization of all the different paths that we can travel over the course of our lives as we endeavor to realize our goals and dreams. And I got to thinking about how easy it is to get our eyes off of the Lord and to get anxious about where we are headed and what's going on around us. I think that's especially true in the world we live in today. Everything seems to be spinning out of control, and the foundational ideals and principles that have been the bedrock of our great nation seem to be under constant attack and erosion. And I don't know about you, but dwelling on that can make me pretty anxious and worried sometimes. So what do we do? Well, the first thing I do is dive back into God's Word. That is where I find direction, peace, comfort, and the power that drives my life. A phrase I repeat to myself when I'm feeling a little overwhelmed is, "You are my rock, Lord, and my salvation. I trust your plan and purpose for my life." So as I delved into the scripture regarding peace and trust, I was delighted to find this one in Isaiah 26, verses 3 and 4. "You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts you. Trust in the Lord forever. For the Lord God is an everlasting rock." The Lord wants us to abide in peace and trust. He actually gives a clear directive and instruction on how to remain in peace. Here are some of my go-to scripture that when I'm feeling anxious and even the slightest bit overwhelmed in my life, I turn to. The first one is found in Philippians 4, verses 6 through 8. "Anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving," get that, "with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." Now that sounds pretty easy, doesn't it? Just give it to the Lord, think about good things, and be thankful. Well, I know from experience that although that is definitely a very simple solution and effective, it is not often easy. Choosing to trust in the Lord and focus on the good and being truly thankful for all that is going on in our lives is definitely a challenge sometimes, but it is so worth the effort. By making the choice to follow these simple scriptures diligently with all of your heart, it will happen. you will find that peace that passes all understanding, and you will discover the direction you are seeking. The scripture I want to leave with you today is one of my very favorite, and you'll hear me quote it often because I never fail to get blown away by the immense promise and hope that is held in these few lines. It's in Jeremiah 29, 11 through 13, and tells us, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." Sorry, I got a frog in my throat. Well, that wraps our show for today. Thank you so much for joining us and giving us the gift of your time. Thank you again to our very special guest, Del Shields, for visiting and sharing with us today. And there is never a big enough thank you for my amazing producer, Gary Holt, for all that he does behind the scenes to make this show happen. Please check out all of the other fabulous shows on Equestrian Legacy Radio. And remember that they are all archived for you to listen to at your convenience. You can even download our nifty mobile app that allows you to take us on the go with you. And if you like our shows, please help spread the word by liking us on Facebook and telling your friends about us. Thank you again for joining us today. Until next week, may all your trails be blessed.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay.
Wonderful power in the blood.